It's time for Big Blue Kickoff Live. Only on Giants.com.
Lathford, little screen. That's a lateral. That ball's behind him. It's loose. Picked up by the Giants. Foley's got it. Running down the right sideline. To the 30, to the 20, 15, 10, 5. Touchdown, Giants.
Manning back to throw. Looks end zone on the post for Dominic Kickson. Bobbles the ball and then makes the catch for the touchdown.
Jump ball deflected and caught off the deflection. Running down the right sideline for a touchdown is Victor Cruz. And he does the samba in the end zone. Patrick back to throw. Lobs one left for Johnson. Intercepted by Corey Webster. Manning takes a low snap. He's back. Throws one left down the sideline for Nix, who makes the catch for the touchdown. With 2:30 to go, Akeem Nix.
Now here are your hosts, John Schmelk and Michael Eisen.
Big Blue Kickoff Live, John Schmelk, Michael Eisen, Giants.com. Tuesday morning, day off for the players here at the Timex Performance Center as they're still trying to bounce back from that loss against the Philadelphia Eagles at MetLife Stadium on Sunday night. We, of course, taking your calls all morning long at 201-939-4513, 201-939-4513, and also taking your questions on Twitter at hashtag GiantsChat. Mike, we talked about the game, of course, yesterday in the morning on Big Blue Kickoff Live. I want to talk to you more about what happened in the locker room yesterday, which I thought was pretty interesting. Pretty strong words from the defensive captain, Justin Tuck, from Chris Canty, and especially from Montrell Roll.
Yeah, it was they did not like, obviously, the result of the game, but more so they seemed to really take issue with the whole attitude of the team. Roll said we took some, well, he didn't say crap, but we took crap in the game. The Eagles came at them, and the Giants really didn't respond as they had wanted with, you know, the toughness, the emotion. They just did not. They played the game with really not the right mindset, it seemed, and they're very angry after the fact. The idea now is to take that anger, channel it correctly, and use it going into the next game.
And no one really seemed to have a decent explanation as to why either. They asked Tuck, I don't know, Canty, I don't know, Antro Roll, you know, he kind of said we're a classy team, but, you know, we got to, you know, almost dislike our opponents more and show them a little less respect when you're on the field and you're playing them. It's a tough thing to quantify because clearly the team was up and they played their rear ends off against the Patriots a couple weeks ago. I thought they played very hard, even though they lost against San Francisco. But there did seem to be something missing out there against Philadelphia.
No question. And Tom Coughlin said it in his post-game news conference. The question he had for the players was why? Why would you come out and play like this in such a big game against a division opponent like this? And no one really has the answer. No one can really put their finger on it. I don't know that there is an answer. I mean, what are you going to stand there and say, well, we didn't come out with the proper emotion and the proper attitude because A, B, and C, and D? I don't think that's going to happen. I think it's just one of those mysterious things. It's almost, I don't want to say an excuse, but you're really not going to come up with an answer. You know, the thing is, you got to use it going forward to better yourself.
And this brings up another question that has come up a number of different times the last few years, whether or not this team has leadership in terms of their players, especially, I think, on the defensive side of the ball. Everyone's pretty much accept that, look, Eli is the leader on offense, and he does it his own way, but he is the offense's leader. Is there really enough leadership on defense in that locker room to make sure the players, you know, come out with the energy they need? And Antro Roll kind of alluded to that yesterday. He basically said, I'm going to be more vocal. I'm going to take more of a leadership role on this defense going forward.
He said we're too calm out there, and he apparently doesn't like it. You know, yesterday, John, we saw leadership in the locker room. I saw from the three guys you mentioned. There's got to be leadership on the field. It doesn't do any good to do it in the locker room. I mean,
it's true.
That's after the fact. Those guys got to step up and take ownership of the defense when they're on the field. And, that did not happen with the game and the balance the other night. You know, the Eagles drove down an 18-play drive that took almost 9 minutes. They converted six first downs. You know, there was the time for someone to step up and make a play. What everybody said yesterday made great copy, but it was 12 hours too late.
Yeah, and it's funny. It sounded similar to me, the way the locker room sounded, after the bad loss to Philly last year in this building. The tone was similar. The way the guys, we got to take responsibility, we got to play better. And it all sounds great on Monday. last year, a week after that, they went and they laid an egg against Green Bay in a win and urine game. So the proof's really not going to be in the pudding until we see what this team does on Monday night against
the
Saints.
I think these are very similar situations, a disappointing loss to Philly. Obviously, it's not the heartbreaker it was last year, losing the late lead, but you're talking about a tie game in the fourth quarter when you let your most hated rival drive down your throat and score the winning touchdown, and then you fumble away your last chance to win the game. And now, once again, the Giants have to go on the road and play one of the best teams in the league a week after a searing loss to the Eagles. And as you mentioned, they did not respond well last year. They lost 45-17 in Green Bay. How are they going to do in New Orleans Monday night? I think it's a season-defining game coming up.
Yeah, I agree. I think it'll show what direction this team heads in down the stretch of the season, Mike, no doubt about it. And this loss of the Eagles, it's funny. I know it was painful and as shocking and stirring as last year's loss was. You can make the argument that this year's loss is the situation in the standings. Michael Vick's not playing. Macklin's not playing. You tie the game in the fourth quarter, and you let a backup quarterback, by the way, for the second time this year now, in the fourth quarter, do a lengthy drive on you. 18 plays, 80 yards, 6 third down conversions you mentioned, and score not just a field goal, mind you, a touchdown, which makes it that much harder on your offense to come back.
On the 6th third down conversion of the drive. An aside, when I heard that Michael Vick was not going to play, I was almost more worried because
so
the Giants'
I.
record against backup quarterbacks is not good. And, Vince Young, it's very odd. I have this in my Tuesday stats roundup today, but, there are four quarterbacks that Eli Manning has matched up against at least twice and that he hasn't beaten in the regular season. Three of them are Drew Brees, Peyton Manning, and Brett Favre. Can understand them all. The fourth one is Vince Young. He's 0-3 against Vince Young. Makes no sense. And that game was...
Though Eli did beat Brett Favre in the playoffs.
In the playoffs,
yes,
absolutely.
Right.
Sure, in the most important game.
No
but,
question.
But these backup quarterbacks who really, I think, should not be beating us. And as you mentioned, they didn't have Macklin. They really shut down McCoy until that last 60-yard run at the end. There's just no excuse for what happened the other night. There really isn't.
201-939-4513, 201-939-4513. Your questions on Twitter as well at hashtag GiantsChat. Let's get into some of the stuff that happened in the game then, Mike. And we'll start with the defense since we just talked about that final drive. The last 2 weeks, it almost feels like the defense was so concerned with the opposing team's running game and running back, McCoy and Gore, that they couldn't get pressure on the quarterback. Now, these two things should not be mutually exclusive, but it seems like this year they've either gotten to the passer, can't stop the run, or they stopped the run, they can't get to the passer. It's strange.
Yeah. I disagree a little bit about Gore because he was out of the game by the end.
But I think the focus was on
yeah.
Gore heading in, for
yeah.
sure.
Which, as it should be,
no
I think.
No question.
Yeah. Everybody identified LeSean McCoy as the primary weapon, especially with DeSean Jackson out. And as I said, the Giants did a good job, but I agree with you. It should not be exclusive. You should be able to get more pressure on the quarterback. It's not just that the Giants had one sack. They had one quarterback hit. They only hit the guy one time all night. That's
amazing.
Unbelievable. I mean, and this defensive line is supposed to be the strength of the team. They weren't around Vince Young all night. So, yeah, they absolutely have to strike that balance between shutting down the opposing team's best running back and putting more pressure on the quarterback. You're just not going to get it done on these late drives, and that's what happened on the 18-play drive. Vince Young was standing back there, and he never got touched the entire drive.
And, again, there were some issues with coverage in the middle of the field. Obviously, with no Michael Bolle, you had some young linebackers out there. And, again, there were some issues in that zone coverage in the middle of the field with these linebackers. At some point, Mike, do you say – look, we got to play to these guys' strengths. Maybe we got to bring these guys in pressure a little bit more, put some pressure on Young, and don't put them in a situation of zone coverage where maybe they're going to struggle a little bit.
Well, that personally is what I would like to see. I didn't like the 3- and 4-man rushes. I want to see just put pressure on the quarterback because you have, as you mentioned, the inexperienced linebackers back there. And Prince was playing his first game, and he played more than was expected. But, again, this goes back to the Giants. The strength of the defense is supposed to be the line. They have this deep, active, talented line, and I don't think that, we took advantage of that the other night.
Yeah, I don't think there's any question about it. And you mentioned Vince Young sitting back there with a lot of time. DeSean Jackson had opened a couple plays. And Very fortunate that that first pass to DeSean Jackson was underthrown. He had Prince beat pretty badly on that play. Good job recovering and, you know, making the play on the ball. No question about it, but he was beat. And I don't know. It just seems like, Mike, in that game, there just wasn't any sort of urgency on the defensive side of the ball at times. But, you know, all that being said, think of it this way. They gave up 17 points. Seven of those came because of a 55-yard punt return for a touchdown. The offense has got to score more than 10 points against the Eagles' defense.
No question about it.
You have to.
Yeah, and especially when you're given the ball three times on intercept. I'm going to throw a stat at you, John, which is a little unbelievable.
What do you got?
Teams this year that have intercepted at least three passes in a game.
What's their record?
26-1.
And we're the one loss?
We're the one loss. Pretty unbelievable. You got
that is a great stat.
That is not taking advantage of what your defense gives you. I mean, we had 13 possessions the other night, 9 punts, 2 turnovers, a field goal, and a touchdown. You got to do better than that. Just have to do better. And I understand your top running back's out, but Giants have been a pretty good passing team all year. They're 5th in the NFL in passing. You know, I thought a little bit too much, trying to, even in the third quarter when it was obvious we couldn't run the ball, we're trying to run the ball. It's not working. At some point, you just got to say, let's go. We got to win the game. Let's stop trying to establish a run. Let's try to win the game.
And I'll get back to the running game in a second. Want to address some of the drop passes issue, which obviously there were some drops, which have been uncharacteristic for this team this year. 3 by Jake Ballard. I think Victor Cruz had one over the middle of the field as well. And in a game like that, you just can't waste those type of opportunities. When you have a chance to make plays, you got to make them.
No. You know, Jake, in the press box, there was a lot of talk. Oh, Jake's all that success is going to his head. He just had a bad game. Bad game's a bad game. I still think, you know, he obviously could have made more plays. But I just think, in general, the passing game could have made more plays. And certainly the running game has got to do better than 29 yards. I mean, that's just ridiculous.
Well, and I think that comes back to the offensive line. And we'll get to them in a second. Ahmad Bradshaw, you mentioned, could make a return this week. We'll see. They'll see if they can practice him, see how that's going to go. But looking at the game, and, you know, Bob Popping, Carl Banks were looking at some of the game film yesterday. I wasn't in there, but they were telling me what they were seeing. And Jacobs didn't have a chance. I mean, there was just no space to run. Whenever there was a hole, one guy would miss a block and he'd get taken down, and what should have been an 8-yard gain turned into a 2-yard gain.
Yeah, there's no question the offensive line is not playing to the standard we're used to around here. I don't know why. I'm not an offensive line expert. I can't tell you what the problem is. But clearly, as I'll have in my notes today, I mean, this is an historically bad rushing season for the Giants. I mean, we have not rushed for this few yards per game since 1945, I think it is. It's unbelievable. And, you know, you talk about, the old cliche is when you get into November and December around here, you have to be able to run the ball. We can't run the ball. You have to wonder what's going to happen.
And you're right. The next 3 weeks you get lucky because you have the Saints in the dome, Dallas is going to be in a dome, and you have the one game here against Green Bay. But so far, November has actually been pretty temperate,
yeah.
So you haven't had to deal with bad weather yet. But when you get to those last three games of the season, when you're in MetLife Stadium for Dallas, Washington, and the Jets, good luck if you're throwing it 45 times a game.
I know. Somehow we have to establish a running game. And I don't know what, you know, and Tom is not going to say this, but, you know, do you make a personnel change on the offensive line? I don't know. Is it a scheme thing? I don't know. But something needs to change.
I mean,
you can't run for 83 yards a game and succeed.
You have trouble believing it's a scheme thing because they've been running the same Kevin Gilbride scheme for years, and they've had a lot of success. The Giants have been a top 5 running team, I think, the last 4 years, at least in terms of yards per carry. They've been consistently in the very top of the league. And I know a lot of fans are going to get upset. Oh, well, you know, they should have brought Richie and Sean back. Well, those guys were injured. That wasn't an option. You couldn't do that. But I think it's fair to say that you haven't adequately replaced those guys to have the effectiveness you've had in the past. Beattie's at left tackle. You moved Deal inside, a brand-new center. And it just, frankly, hasn't worked.
It has not worked to expectations. I mean, the pass blocking's been good. Eli's having a very good season.
Except this week against Philly.
Yeah, he's been sacked 19 times. But no, the run blocking clearly has not worked, and I don't know what And I'm sure he's not going to invite me in the office and tell me, but I don't know what Tom Coughlin is planning to do for these next six games, but it would seem to me something has to change.
And you can't just keep running your car into a brick wall.
Yeah.
Eventually, you got to change your strategy here a little bit.
You would think.
And then this week, Coach mentioned this in his press conference yesterday, Mike. You can say the team, the line has been good at pass protection all year, and they have been. But, boy, the Eagles are just rushing four guys all night and getting to the quarterback.
Yeah, it was not. It was just one of those games where – really, everything went wrong. I mean,
Eli got killed.
Yeah, and I don't think he threw the ball particularly well when he had time.
Well, that's what happens when you get hammered, though.
Yeah.
You're going to get jittery.
So, you know, it's just unfortunate. I just don't, even with the loss in San Francisco, I thought we played pretty well. It was four games in a row. We played pretty well, but I just don't understand how, you know, Philly comes in here. I think this is 5 years in a row Philly's won on our home field in the regular season. Plus, they beat us in the playoffs once. So I just don't understand what happens when we play the Eagles here.
Aren't we 4-1 at Philly in those same 5 years, or 3-2, something like
that?
We've had pretty success down there, right?
Yeah, it's interesting. Three of the last six years, there's been a split of the season series. And in those 3 years, the visiting team won every game. It's just a bizarre series.
That's why when people – and I noticed it from some Giant fans that called up and on our shows and all that stuff. People were taking the Eagles a little bit lightly. I got to be honest with you, heading into this past week's game.
And I talked to Coach about that when I sat down with him last week. You know, all this talk about can you bury the Eagles and, you know, oh, man, Michael Vick's not going to play. And, oh, the Eagles have lost two straight. Look how they're playing. And I mean, this is basically the same team that everyone was saying 6 weeks ago was one of the best teams in the NFL. 3 weeks ago when they beat Dallas.
And Vegas had them as, I believe they were like the fourth or fifth best odds to make it to the Super Bowl in Vegas after that win against Dallas.
So, you take out Michael Vick. Vince Young is a two-time Pro Bowler. It's not like you're putting in this unknown guy who's never played before. I mean, they have a lot of talent on that team. And Coach said it yesterday. It was unbelievable some of the things that were being said about the Eagles.
He actually made me laugh, Coach. He goes, and guys, big surprise. That's why they brought Vince Young in.
Yeah.
Hello.
Yeah, that's what he said to me last week. I mean, the guy's, you know, a good player. And as we mentioned earlier, he's had a lot of success against the Giants. He's 3-0 against the New York Giants.
All right, we got questions pouring in on Twitter here, Mike. What do you think of Darrell Scott in his limited action? Do you think he's shown the coaches something, or do you think he's going to stick in that role that he's been in terms of special teams and in terms of offense? I'll go both to you.
Well, I like Darrell Scott a lot. I would like to see him get used more. And if Danny Ware, who has a concussion, can't go, and Bradshaw doesn't play, because Coach seemed to indicate in his mind that Bradshaw is very iffy for the New Orleans game, I think Darrell Scott has to get more of a chance, unless you're going to run Brandon Jacobs every time you run the ball.
And, by the way, Darrell Scott had that D.J. Ware hit, legal hit. It was vicious, but legal hit.
He's running
the football. You can do whatever you want.
Yep, legal hit.
No question.
Wish one of our guys would have hit one of their guys like that.
And I don't know about you, Mike. I've been seeing a lot of these messages on Twitter the last few days, and I've been arguing with Giant fans back and forth, and most of them aren't very happy with me, by the way. But people want to blame Kevin Gilbride in the play calling for this game on Sunday. I don't see it. I know you say maybe you tried to run the ball a little bit too much, but quite frankly, when you sat there and you tried to pass it, Eli Manning was getting the you-know-what knocked out of him.
Yeah.
And it just seemed like when your offensive line performs that poorly, it's hard to look good on offense.
Yeah, I agree. I just thought there was I'm looking for the series. You know, one time, fairly late in the game. Yeah, there was this series where we started at our 20 with 5 minutes to go in the third quarter. You know, the first play is Jacobs for 4 yards. Second play is Jacobs for no yards. But then, you know, Manning threw to Barden for 13 yards. We got the first down, so it didn't hurt us. I thought, you know, even with 5 minutes to go in the third quarter, when it was obvious we were not running the ball, we're still, you know, darn it, we're going to run the ball. And but that series, we did complete a pass. We actually completed two. One was short to Jacobs on the first down.
Are you surprised Barden didn't get more run?
Yeah, maybe a little bit. You're not going to take Hakeem Nicks out of the game. Victor Cruz right now is the most productive receiver we have. And I thought the guy who surprised me was Mario. He had one 4-yard catch. Mario was I had to look after the game to see if he even caught a pass. I don't remember when he caught one.
What, three targets, I think, during the game or something like that? Yeah, he wasn't very involved.
He had one of those Mario disappears games.
Yeah, he did, no question about it. And a couple of people were taking some shots at Steve Weatherford. How do you kick the ball to DeSean Jackson? I thought Weatherford had a great game. If you punt the ball nine times, eventually the guy's going to get a return. How about covering a kick?
Yeah, I agree. I thought Weatherford had a real good game, but I got to admit I had the same thought. Why are we kicking to this guy? He caught the ball almost the exact same spot he caught it last year.
That's
when
a
he
good
beat
point.
It was a terrible flashback, and that was it was very costly. I mean, the next play after his long punt return, they scored the touchdown.
No question about it. And I thought Jackson had scored on the punt return, but Weatherford did a good job pushing him out of bounds on that play, too.
I didn't. Somebody said, oh, I don't know if he stepped out, but his foot that did – hit the line.
No, he was out as the right call. Yeah. And now two more cornerbacks hurt. Mike Michael Coe and Derek Martin both get injured. Coe's likely he got put on IR. He's going to miss the rest of the year. And Martin has a pretty bad hamstring from what we can tell. And, boy, that just gets shallower and shallower. And
yeah, thank goodness Prince is back. Yeah. So, but really, those are the two gunners on the punt team. So now you say, well, hey, how about covering a punt? Let's have good coverage on a punt. Those are your two first guys down on the punts. So they're going to have to find somebody else to do that in New Orleans.
Yeah, no question about it, Mike. And, boy, as we move forward here against New Orleans, let's take a quick look forward here before we say goodbye. And you're right, it's a very similar situation going to Green Bay last year after a bad loss. They're coming off a bye week, which I know teams can be rusty off a bye. I never like to play a team off a bye week. They've had 2 weeks to prepare for you. The team's going to be rested. They might get Mark Ingram back this week, their dynamic young running back. And Drew Brees in that passing game in New Orleans is great. They haven't lost a game at home yet this year. All three losses have come on the road. And they can move the football. And the Giants' pass defense better get itself shaped up or it can get ugly on Monday.
Yeah, you know, you talked about the zone defenses the other day, John. Drew Brees, if he has time, he will pick apart a zone defense. It will not be pretty. And, you know, we all remember what happened the last time we went down there when we fell way behind and got blown out of the Superdome. And, you know, we just can't afford it. This is almost a must-win game. And they'll know if it's a must-win game because Dallas plays Thursday. So if Dallas wins Thursday, the Giants are going to know going in that, you know, they have to win just to tie. And, you know, just a note about the schedule. I don't want to complain, but I just find it interesting the way the schedule is set up. We play on a Sunday night. We have to go to New Orleans now and play Monday night against a team coming off a bye. Then we got to come home to play a Green Bay team that plays on Thanksgiving, and we'll have four extra days rest to prepare for us.
You know, I'm not, to me, it's not a big deal. The Saints coming off a bye, that's going to happen. But that Thanksgiving scenario is
that's ridiculous.
You're coming off a Monday night on the road, and you got to play a team that played on Thursday
early afternoon.
Really?
Not right. Not
come
right.
on.
But you know, let's focus on this. Let's go down and we got to beat the Saints because I think everyone expects, as well as Miami's played the last 3 weeks, I think everyone expects the Cowboys to beat the Dolphins on Thanksgiving.
No, the Dolphins have been playing really well.
I think they've
outscored teams like, 75 to 26 in their last three contests, something like that. They've actually played pretty good football. Tony Sperano wants to try to keep that job of his.
Well, I hope he takes a big step forward on Thursday and does that.
The Saints' defense can be scored on, though. They're kind of in the middle of the league, I think 18th or 19th against the run and the pass and overall defensively. You can move the ball and score some points on them. No doubt about
it. You can, absolutely. But we've got to show that we can stop them, and I think, you know, a little leery about that.
Mike, thank you very much.
Thanks, John.
Appreciate it as always. Michael Eisen, John Schmelk, Big Blue Kickoff Live right here on Giants.com. And, of course, every Tuesday we do our little fantasy weekend wrap-up segment, and for that we can welcome in our self-proclaimed fantasy expert. That's Dave Melroy. Mr. Melroy?
I don't think I ever proclaimed myself
as the expert,
but I guess we're just going
I think
it.
You did at some point.
All right, fair enough, John.
All right, I had a bad weekend this weekend at fantasy. Not that anybody cares. Lance dominated your Thursday competition.
Oh, my God. Can we talk about that for a
second?
Sure, go ahead. Because it's so unbelievable. So Lance Meadow outscored my team and Anita's team combined.
Oh, very nicely done by Meadow.
I'm so much in awe. Let me read off Lance Meadow's team to you and how it did. So Lance Meadow drafted Tony Romo, who got him 23 points, Reggie Bush, who got him the low of 12 points, Ray Rice, who got him 26, Jordy Nelson got him 24, Vincent Jackson got him 22, and Rob Gronkowski last night got him 21 points, giving him a grand total of 128 points in a league where we take away the top three guys at each position. Lance Meadow, if you are listening, that's me clapping for you, buddy. Just an unbelievable fantasy football week for Lance Meadow.
Now, there are probably some fantasy football owners out there right now scrambling for a quarterback because Matt Castle's been put on IR. He's out for the year. Not that anyone was probably starting Matt Castle, but he's still a quarterback. But the Jay Cutler injury, I'm sure a lot of teams were relying on Jay Cutler as their fantasy starter. Is that where you go?
No, I don't think so. I don't. The Bears have basically said that it is going to become the Matt Forte, Marion Barber show in Chicago, and they're going to basically rely on that defense. So, no, I do not pick up Haney. He is not going to be your guy. A couple guys I will offer. Matt Moore may have actually gotten picked up in this previous week, as you and Eisen were just
touchdowns.
Talking about.
Yeah.
But he's really doing pretty well, and he has a pretty good matchup coming up this week. If that will
Dallas.
Work. Dallas, thank you. Who just last week, Rex Grossman was the number two fantasy quarterback. So, you know, if he can do it, there's a pretty good likelihood on Thursday Matt Moore's going to do pretty well for you.
Former Cowboy, of course, playing his former team. Matt Moore was the backup for Tony Romo a few years ago.
And just a little extra incentive, you know, you get the little revenge game going.
Remember, Tony Sperano, very familiar with that Cowboys scheme. He was the Cowboys' offensive coordinator. Yes. The scheme has not changed that much since Jason Garrett was there. That being said, the Cowboys also probably very familiar with Mr. Sperano's scheme, so we'll see how that goes both ways.
Absolutely. That I mean, I think all Thursday's games are just going to be excellent.
That's
going to
be
John.
A great football Thursday, isn't it? Whew.
I mean, you start. It's just going to be awesome. And just that Sunday or that Thursday night game of the Harbaugh brothers, San Francisco versus Baltimore, that's just going to be such a showdown.
I think it's
so
time
exciting.
The 49ers lose a football game, by the way.
I think it's the week, John. I think it's going to happen.
And you know what, though? That game is going to be a war because those two teams are really physical. They like to hit. Neither team is, you know, like is a team that's going to throw the ball around the yard. The Ravens actually, I think, have more pass attempts than any other team this year, to be honest with you. But they're both tough physical teams. That's going to be a battle.
I can't wait for that final handshake at the end. We'll see if Jim Harbaugh does another one of those, like, back slaps on his brother. Maybe we'll see a brotherly brawl at the 50-yard line.
Yeah, that's what the NFL wants on Thanksgiving, a huge fight between brothers after the game.
Somebody grabs some turkey, some mashed potatoes, a big food fight starts in the middle of the 50. That's what I want to see.
All right, let's do a little review here.
Sure.
What do you got?
We don't do our, as people know, we don't do really our Friday segment. John has figured it's good enough amount.
You guys do a good 20 minutes of fantasy on Thursdays, right?
Yeah, we do a lot of fantasy.
Well, so there you go. So
all
I think
right,
that's
so
good.
So I'll recap
enough.
How I might. I,
are you telling me I should remove Pat Hanlon from the Friday show for Dave Mallory?
Are
is that
kidding
what you're
me?
Saying?
He's the best. He's the most entertaining thing we have on this show, besides listening to Marks and Meadow on Thursday. So anyway, so my team this week did pretty mediocre, I'm not going to lie. At quarterback, I had Eli Manning. We all know what happened. He got me 10 points. Running back, LeSean McCoy, he got me 11. I'm not saying I was happy he got that 60-yard run at the end of the game, but, you know, that at least got me 6 points. Didn't really help me, but it did help me beat Anita, which helped me get second place 5 weeks in a row. Fred Jackson only got me 6 points. Thanks a lot, Fred. Dez Bryant did okay, got me 12. Larry Fitzgerald got me 10. Can we talk about the Cardinals for a second? The benching of John Skelton.
No, didn't he get hurt? I'm pretty sure he fell down and he hurt his throwing hand, Mauer. You got to get on top of that, man. Come on. I don't think there was a benching
Look,
there.
That's bringing me to my next point, though, that Richard Bartell got brought in the game and had a better – I know John Skelton threw 3 interceptions. I think he threw 90 yards total.
Let me see. Was he hurt or not? Yeah, leaves game with injury. What do we got here?
All right. Well, he should have been benched because he threw for 90 yards with 3 interceptions.
I think he built up some collateral after beating the Eagles the week before, though, don't you think?
I don't think so, I think, because I think Kevin Cobb's going to be coming back. Yeah, that's what you want, because you think Bob Pop is listening. And he's like, John, you better not bring down John Skelton. He's my Fordham boy.
Fordham is one of my I declined to go to Fordham. I was too good for So I have no love for the Rams, but I have no problem for the Rams either. Bob, you should see Bob Papa's face light up whenever he sees Skelton do anything. It's like a kid on Christmas morning.
Yeah, whenever
it really
he walks
is funny.
In the morning, especially the past couple weeks, because Skelton did so well, I'd be like, hey, how about John Skelton, right? And you just get a good 2-minute conversation about, you know, it's that Fordham blood, you know. It runs deep. It's just so.
7 blocks of granite, Fordham football, blah, 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 blah.
You're like, great, Bob. Okay.
You know what? I guess it was a coach. Skelton did leave the game earlier with an injury, but it looks like going to Bartell was a coach's decision. But
And you can't blame Ken Wisenhut. I mean, your quarterback's throwing you 90-something yards and 3 interceptions. You got to pull the plug.
Yeah, he did. Here we go. This is a quote from head coach Ken Wisenhut. To John's defense, he got a little banged up on his hand, tried to play through it, And it looks like if Cobb can't play, that I think they're going to stick with Skelton if Cobb can't go next week. So we'll see.
All right, well, that's good. So I guess he did obviously build up some collateral then.
That was more Cardinals talk than we ever needed on the show, by the way.
Yeah, that's true. but I just thought it was hilarious. Richard Bartell, it's like that's the ultimate who?
Yeah.
Like Richard Bartell. I actually, when I originally saw the stat of the Richard Bartell to Larry Fitzgerald, I thought it must have been like a fake field goal attempt.
And
Richard Bartell was like their like punter or someone. I had no idea who
I expect
was.
Our fantasy guru to know every back quarterback. In
I know.
NFL,
I really need to study
that,
up a bit more.
It's a bad job out of you.
And then I had Jason Witten, who did fine. He got me 14 points. Then let's go to Anita Marks' team. So Anita Marks, as all our listeners know, was touting the Oakland-Minnesota game as the lock for the Oakland Raiders of the year, which she ultimately got correct.
Oakland won the game.
She did think it was going to be a blowout, and it was going to be like a 70-12 kind of game. Didn't quite happen that way. In fact, they almost lost the game. So she had Carson Palmer who got her.
You taking the veiled shots when she's not in the room. Melroy. Well,
she's listening right now. She's calling
she's
up.
She's tweeting right now. I'm very unhappy with you.
So she had Carson Palmer, got her 16 points. Fine. 16 points out of your quarterbacks, just fine. Running back DeMarco Murray got her 10 points. Also fine. Not fantastic,
it's
but
okay.
Fine. Michael Bush got 18. Very good. I think we can agree 18 points for a running back is very good. Where she didn't do so well was the wide receiver position. You can't blame her for picking Greg Jennings. He had 0 points. I don't even know what happened there. I know it was the Jordy Nelson show.
You know, the Packers, they're weird, though. JerMichael Finley only had one catch in that game.
Yeah.
Yet they still – Rodgers still throws to 303 touchdowns. Just shows you how –
unbelievable.
How dangerous the Packers are. They could throw to anybody on that team and succeed. It really is amazing how easy they make it look.
Yeah. And we're going to be obviously talking about that a heck of a lot more next week.
Let's worry about Drew Brees first, okay? That's not easy either.
Exactly. And then she had Denarius Moore going back to her Oakland Raiders thing. He only had one catch, I think, for like
Denarius
12.
Moore?
You know what? I was very proud of her when she made that pick. Because that is a gutsy pick.
Yeah, that's a reach.
That was good, John.
Thank you.
And then going back to that Oakland thing, Carson Palmer, I think she had the second overall pick. Mm-hmm. She picked him with her first overall, which was the second overall in the draft pick, which I thought was
obsessed with the Raiders.
Shocking.
Huh?
Yeah.
Shocking is one word for it.
And then at tight end, she got Tony Gonzalez. One note, and this is for me, Meadow, and Marks. We all picked the top three tight ends this week, which I thought was actually kind of cool. It's pretty rare that actually occurs. So that's a little something, something.
Now, have you guys named your fantasy league or competition yet?
No.
I feel like it should be some type of like triple M with for Melroy, Meadow, and Marks.
I totally agree.
I feel like that's the direction you guys should go in for that.
Do I get to go first? Does it get to be Melroy, Meadow, Marks?
No, let's see. It would be alphabetical, so it would be Marks, Meadow, and Melroy.
I can live with that. All right. Marks, Meadow, and Melroy. That's age too, you know.
That's true.
It's a nice little arc.
That's a fair point.
Yeah.
All right, any other big pickups this week you should make if you're looking for guys on the waiver wire?
Yeah, I just want to talk about some guys real quick, and I'll get off the air. We talked about Matt Moore. the side hook of like a Vaughn Hill show
exactly.
Is coming
go,
out.
Go.
We talked about Matt Moore. He's pretty good, and he should do pretty well against Dallas this week. Kevin Smith, the running back who was unemployed about a week ago, I think, got 38 points this week. Want to say, you know, anytime an offense scores 49 points, it's likely the running back's going to have a very good game. But one little note that I thought was interesting, the week before, he had 4 rushes for 19 yards, which doesn't sound like anything, but it is that high 4 average. So it's interesting that he sort of did it in a game before, sort of, and then he had the beast game against Carolina.
Former first-round pick, too, of course.
Yeah, but what does that mean?
I'm just throwing it out there. Shows he has some type of talent.
True. That's very valid. So maybe he should be on your waiver wire. Think about picking him up if you have an injury or something. Definitely an intriguing player right there. And we don't know about Javid Best. I wouldn't be surprised if he doesn't. It could be like a Sidney Crosby thing with him where they're just going to hold him out for indefinitely.
Boy, I don't know. Some people out there really love Javid Best coming into this year because he thought he was going to stay healthy and have a monster year. I don't know what those people were thinking.
I love Javid Best. Javid, if you're listening to Giants.com, I love you. And then LeGarrette Blount, the best run since the wild card round.
He's not available.
No, he's not available. Well, he may be.
No,
he was injured
he's
for a while.
Not. If he's available, your league's a joke.
I more just wanted to talk about that run. That was
Tecmo Bowl.
You saw that run.
That was
right?
Great run.
Can we agree that that was the best run at least since Marshawn Lynch's run?
Awesome.
And then
I'd agree with that.
I think he had 2 other runs that didn't break for like the 40-yard touchdown, But he had that one where he broke at least 3 to 4 tacklers in a very similar fashion straight up the middle. Just really, that's like what you want to see from our brand. Like, that's what, when you think of Brandon Jacobs and how he...
Well, what we like to see is you block it so you don't have to break 4 tackles.
Yeah. Yeah, we're not going to go there. And then, obviously, all Giants fans know Victor Cruz is awesome. But just to talk about how consistent this guy has been, yeah. Since week 3, he has only had one football game where he has delivered less than 9 fantasy points. And that was week 6 against Buffalo. Every other week, he has gotten you 8. I'm sorry, I'm just going to read this. 23 points, 9 points, 20 points, the 1-point game, 15, 9, 8, 18.
It's good.
I mean, that's a number one starting wide receiver right there.
Victor Cruz has been excellent. There's no question. But remember, with Nixon Manningham both healthy in some of these games, he might have a couple of low pointers. We'll see.
Yeah, but hasn't happened yet.
No, it hasn't. Well, once.
All right. John, it is a pleasure as always, my friend.
All right, Melroy. Appreciate it, my friend.
All right, take care.
All right, everybody. Thanks for joining us today on Big Blue Kickoff Live right here on Giants.com. For Michael Eisen, for Dave Melroy, I'm John Schmelk. See you next time right here, Giants.com. Peace out.